Welcome to Jewish History with Rabbi David Katz, connecting the human side to Jewish history. For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.
Hi, it's Thursday night. It's actually too late to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. See if I can get it out of the way. I wanted to say a few words about the upcoming holiday of Purim, being sponsored by our good friend Gluck Plumbing in Lakewood. But the trouble is, they always warn me, no refried beans, you know. So we have to do something original. I'm going to tell you something that's original that I stumbled upon the other day when I was doing the ladies' class. We were discussing Purim and aspects of Megillah. And my attention was turned, as it usually is, into the very end, where they talk about the actual fighting and the aftermath and the two igros that Mordecai and Esther send. And here I'm talking about mamash literally the history of Purim as a holiday, which is not so clear, because it comes across that it was celebrated for a while. It wasn't. The Chacham didn't want to do it, and Queen Esther didn't want to do it. I mean, we all know that. Kivun Ledoris. No, what do the Chazal say? Kinat Mores Bena Umos. I mean, those things in the Gemara, that there was a rabbinic reluctance to sort of immortalize the Esther story, is a Dover Yedua. And it's from even the Megillah said they had to write it two times. And the Gemara says, I was just cosping over the Gemara and Megillah the other day, and in the first paragraph it says that Betchila, in the beginning, Purim was celebrated in Shushan, and then it was celebrated elsewhere, which is just interesting. In other words, when the holiday was finally agreed upon or started to be practiced, it wasn't everywhere. It was in grand total one place. Mamish, like we have all these other Purims in Jewish history, you know, the Purim of Cairo, the Purim of Frankfurt, the Purim of Rome, you know, when they had local things and they're saved from a local guy, and they would make it a Purim holiday. I mean, you know all that. A lot of those little Purims. So our holiday of Purim, which is approaching, originally it was like that. But Chil Kavu B'Shushan. In other words, the Jews of Shushan had been directly under threat of Haman. Haman got knocked off 1, 2, 3. They were able to kill out the enemies 11 months later. And so you had the Purim of Shushan. But later it says it spread, it was Kavu in the 127 provinces. That's for the whole Jewish people. So even according to that, the reception history of the holiday of Purim is somewhat murky. And it's just, so this made me think, and it's just interesting. So what I'm saying is speculative. I think it's true, but, you know, I can't promise that. I don't know if you ever considered the fact that Purim is kind of funny because it does not celebrate the day we defeated our enemies, but the day after. It doesn't say Purim comes out in 13th of Adar, which is the day Asher Yishlatu Ayuhunim B'Soneim, Vayasu Kirtzonam. How was the Pasuk say? Vayasu B'Soneim Kirtzonam. That's quite a statement. Vayaku HaYehudim B'chol Oyveim Makas Cherev. That's quite a pasuk. The Jews struck a blow, and it was a blow of Makas Cherev and Hereg and Avdon. I mean, I don't know if you ever remember Ayin. That pasuk is like, what's the difference? It's like a Malbim type thing. What's the difference in Cherev and Hereg and Avdon? And what does it mean by Yasu B'Sonim Kirtzonon? And there's a Chazal, apparently a Medrash, that says that, you know, they played Old Testament on them. By Yasuba, so name Kirtzona means it's a Sherotsu Litlos Tolu, by Sherotsu Lishasev, Shisfu. That means they chop people in half if they felt like it. No one could stop them. So that's what happened on the 13th of Adar. You would think that that would be the day you would commemorate. I mean, off the top of my head, you know. Yom Nicanor, all those days in Megillas Tainis, which are, Purim's also Megillas Tainis, by the way, which are days you, you know, you celebrate semi-holidays. They're the dates of the victory. I mean, what happened on Yud Gimel Adar? Judah Maccabee smashed Nicanor, the Greek general. So you don't say, we're going to celebrate the day after when the Jews were rejoicing over the victory they had. I get that they were rejoicing. I understand that. But you think that the day to make the holiday of Purim is the day Asher, you know, Yishlu to Ayyuhun B'Sonan. You're commemorating the day of what I just said before. Makas Hereg V'Hereg V'Avdon V'Yasu Kitzonim Kitzonim. Right? But that's not what we do. That's not what Mordechai and Esther said, according to the Megillah. Right? They said, no, the day after when you had a Mishnah. Isn't that a little weird? First of all, they celebrated with a Mishnah. I mean, you think they celebrated with a special prayer service in the synagogue. They celebrated with a Tehillim. I'm serious. But that's not what they did. After they finished killing all these guys, who after all were going to kill them, they made a meal. No, they didn't make a meal. In Purim, in the Megillah, there was no Suda's Purim. There was a Mishnah, which is a drinking party. No, the emphasis was on the show set. I don't know if you noticed that. Why does it say that they made a Suda? That's not what they did, right? I think at the beginning it talks about Hashoresh making a Suda, isn't that right? No, he made a mishta too, right? So apparently, you know, food wasn't the item. It was one of these booze things like you have with these Richie Riches now, you know, with a little bit of, what do you call those meat platters, you know, those fancy schmancy boards, whatever they're called, they go along with the booze, with the wine. That's what they did. And that's what we celebrate today. So that's what we commemorate, because Purim is the 14th. It's so weird that we don't commemorate the 13th, that the Jewish people in its folk wisdom, as you and I know, eventually came up with Tainus Esther, as we call it. Because I just told you, Tainus Esther is a later creation. Everybody knows this. In the time of the Gemara, you were not allowed to fast on the 13th of Adar because it was Yom Nicanor. But the Klal Yisrael came to feel, we can't let this, I mean, it's crazy. The 13th of Adar should be nothing. And the 14th should be a whole holiday. What, you're commemorating the parties? Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? You're commemorating the party? You're commemorating the victory. The Hatzalah. Why are you commemorating the parties? And second of all, what's the business with Mishta? Why are you celebrating with the Mishta? And so, I was discussing this in the Shir. And I don't remember how it came up, but between me and Mrs. Rosberg and somebody else, came up something inside I never saw before. And I think it's a key to something. If you're making a drinking party, you're going to get drunk to one degree or another. That's actually very unwise from a security point of view. What happened before the battle? Nikhalu Yehudim. Bechol Orehem, something like that. How's it supposed to go? You know, you've read it. It's in Perek Tes over here. Perek Tes Pasuk Beis. Nikalu Yehudim Orehem Bechol Dinas Hamelch Achashverosh L'Shloch Liyab B'Mvakshei Rosam. What do you mean Nikalu? They made a kahal by Vayakal Moshe. That means they organize themselves. I think even the art scroll, if I remember correctly, translates it. Nikalu means they organize themselves. Think about this. Because one of the things on Purim you're supposed to do is think about the tough matzav that they were in. In the Gemara and in the beginning of the Medrash, you see when Rabbi so-and-so Pasach Pischas Parshas Mahocha, you know, had those psichos, they were pretty serious. Because it was a close call. I know in the end it was all happy. It was a close call. And even when Hum was dead, you didn't know which way the cookie was going to crumble. Maybe the enemies will be more militarily successful than us. It's not like the Jews all over the empire formed one big army. Everyone in their own community had to create their own JDL. Nikhalu Ayahudim means that they organized themselves for defense. Like you see now, in the current wave of anti-Semitism in America, people getting guns, and they're learning how to shoot them. And synagogues are having, you know, security shtick and things like that, which they should have. That's a good idea. You know what I mean? In other words, have a plan, as they call it. Otherwise, everybody shoot each other. I have a friend who actually knows how to shoot. And he's in a certain shul in Baltimore. Boy, does he know how to shoot. And he told me he used to sit in the front row of the shul. Now he moved to the back row because he wouldn't get shot by all the would-be cowboys there in the shul. And Chas v'Shalom should never need it. And when I was young, years ago, you couldn't have imagined that a synagogue in America, when they had a security committee, people come with weapons, all of a sudden the guns would be not mukzah on Shabbos. You know, the new reality that we're in. But that means that even after Haman fell from power and you found out about it, you still have that day when, you know, Lahashmid La'arog Al'Abed, Haman's decree was still there. The only thing is the Jews can fight back. And so Nick Halumi, they organized themselves the best they could. So wherever you lived, like I say, you formed, you got together with these other guys. You had no choice. And you trained yourself in weapons. I mean, what did they do during those 10, 11 months? Target practice, or whatever the equivalent was in those days. Right? I mean, isn't that true? And in the end, Ish Lo Amad Lifneihem, they were successful. Notice the other side was broken in morale, and the Jews were able by Yasu, Sonian, Kisonian, they could kill whoever they want. They could torture, it says, whoever they want. They could be Mashah safe. They chop people in half. So that means nobody was drinking those 11 months. You couldn't let your guard down. You had to be on patrol. I mean, if they were smart, and they were, they had to have some kind of full-time mishmar in case the other guy shouldn't start anything early. In general, it's a whole question. Even the Gemara talks about it. Why didn't they attack right away? Why did they wait 11 months? Remember, it says, Ilmole Igris Rishonis Lenishtayim Yisrael Klum, that Ahasuerus sent out a dumb letter about Iosh Kalish Sora Viveso. Therefore, people said, don't go by his letters. Sometimes he writes stupid things. He doesn't mean them. That's the Gemara, right? You remember that. So, the Megillah. So it was a dangerous and tough time. And now that they killed everybody, and I repeat everybody, at least that they knew about, and the Mefarshim are very interesting on this, because it says, what's the Pasuk? All right, let me get it here again. The words count. This is all from the last part of Megillah. It says, one second. Vayaku HaYehudim. Listen closely to the Pasuk Hey. Vayaku HaYehudim B'chol Oyvehem Makas Her V'Her Avdon Vayasu B'tzoneihem Kirtzonon. Now you and I usually read this, and we read it like it's sort of repetitive. You know, it's rhetorical. That the Jews struck their enemies in all kind of fierce blows, and they did whatever they wanted then. Why do you call one Oyev and the other one a Sone? Because it says, Vayako Yehudim B'chol Oyvehem Makas Chera Vayasu B'Sonem Kirtzonon. The answer is, they're the same thing. But you know how it goes. A lot of them are Farshim, the Malbim types, and the Ibn Ezra types and others. What's the difference between an Oyev and a Sone, right? And, you know, once you take that kind of approach, you have all kinds of Terutzim. Many of them go along the following lines. That Oyev is an open enemy, Rotrim Begoloi, and Sonam is a hidden enemy, sin of a lev. And so the ones that they were open about it, they killed, but they also killed the ones that they knew were sympathizing with them, even though they didn't do anything quite yet. So in other words, it was trying to indicate there was a complete destruction of the enemies, at least for that moment, till the new ones grew later. Because the new ones always grow later. You can't get rid of anti-Semitism. Excuse me. Anyhow, so when they did that, then all of a sudden they found themselves in an interesting Messias. There's no anti-Semites left. You and I cannot even imagine that. They got all the guys, the Oivam and the Sonam, 75,000 in number. The rest were Hamonam, that are like, you know, behemoths. It could be led to the right, it could be led to the left. That's usually the way it goes. The masses are asses, you know. The Hamonam, they neither like the Jews, they don't dislike the Jews. If you tell them to kill them, they'll kill them. If you tell them to be Mechabed, they'll be Mechabed. But the ones who were the real schmoes, right? Like I say today, the ones who are pushing the Hamas thing, you know? So those were all killed. So that means that for the first time in the year, after all that being scared, they can now totally relax. And they expressed this relaxation, which was miraculous to them, by saying, now we're going to get drunk. Or at least we're going to have a lot of wine. You know what I mean? Now, here's the interesting part. Libi Omerli, this is, and I never thought about this before. And I remember, if I thought about it, Mrs. Rosberg or whatever, Libi Omerli, that this is the original Adlo Yoda. Because you got to face it. This is a strange custom of Adlo Yoda. You get so drunk, you can't tell the difference between one and the other. And all the Mefarshim are trying to figure out what the heck is going on over here. I'm not going to repeat it. I've done it in the past. Every rabbi in the world has done this. Zevin has a collection of all the opinions. You know, some say it doesn't mean drunk, it's just a basurian, all that stuff. I'll leave it to your local Orthodox rabbi to expatiate on that subject. But when all said and done, where does this come from? It's very strange. Agreed? It's very strange. You have a holiday, Adlo Yoda, and you even see from the Gemara that Rabba Shechted Reb Zera and all that sort of thing. So what happens? Unless you say that happened on the original Purim, meaning after they killed all the guys and there was nobody a threat left, they said, now we can have a good drink. Aye, you're off your guard when you're drunk, or even if you're a little high. That's not the time to go shooting. That's not the time to go driving. I think we all know this. Every year somebody makes a mistake and tragedies happen. But now it's okay. Why? Because all the bad guys are gone. So let's say you lived in a certain city where there were 100 bad people. You know, 55 anti-Semites open and 45 anti-Semites hidden, not open. The first group was the Oivim, and the second group was the Sonim, right? But they're all gone. They're all gone. And the others were scared. It says, Rabbi Miamars, Mesiadim, Michal Sari Hamadinos, Vashtar Ben Pachos, Menasim, Esayhudim, Kinafam Pachem Mordechai Alam. I mean, we know this. And so for the Jews, it's a very unusual moment in the Golas, like a unique moment in the Golas, in which all the threat was gone, at least for now. Now, being that it's Golas, it's not going to be gone forever. But it was gone for now. It's just interesting to live in a world which there are no bad guys. I've never lived in such a world. You have never lived in such a world. There's always bad people out there. The question is, how marginal are they? And you know, and I know, ever since October 7th, their marginality has unfortunately decreased. Now they're like a rove. I mean, we know this. But at that time, it wasn't that way. They were all dead. You want to know something? I could get roaring drunk. Adlo Yada Ben Ar Harbor Baruch Mordechai. Because it doesn't matter anymore. I'm perfectly safe. I think that it struck me that's probably what happened. And when it said, Vaso, so Yom Mishta B'Simcha, I mean, the original Purim now. This is before Shaul Chamanus kicked in. That was later. And before Isser Malacha. That's when Mordechai and Esther and the elders got in it. And that became a feature that passed down generation to generation. Oh, you want to remember that party? I remember that party from 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 50 years ago. And boy, did people get drunk. Not for the 12 months before that. You couldn't afford it. But now they had this unbelievable relief. And I hate to say it, maybe when they were all high on the booze, maybe that's when they had Kim of a Kivlu. You know, who knows? you know, they're Makabal Torah second time, Barasim. But it was like a Kodak moment, so to speak. And that survives, as I say before, in the strange practice of Adlo Yad Baharma, meaning if you get so drunk that you're not worried about anything, you expose yourself to danger. Now you know what it feels like, how they felt like a little bit. And so we're commemorating the high that they had, not the day of the fighting. Still, after all that's said and done, it still doesn't make any sense. The day of the fighting is the day they should commemorate. That's what all nations and others do. Anniversary of famous battles and things like that. They don't say, oh, we're commemorating how happy everybody was when the battle was over the next day. That's not what you commemorate. That's not what you relive every year. In Purim, we relive the Mishnah, you know, Mishnah B'Simcha that they experienced after the victory. So it's strange. So I'm wondering, myself, maybe Purim had a certain evolution. By that I mean, we know the Gemara says, she said, first of all, Kivuni Lidoris, and later she said, Kisvuni Lidoris. Kivuni Lidoris, what does that mean? Kisvuni Lidoris is pretty obvious, include me in the Bible. Kivuni Lidoris. I know Rashi and the others have a way of explaining it. And remember, the rabbis didn't want to do it. They say, cannot Mores Ben Alum, it's going to cause anti-Semitism. It's just an interesting moment in Jewish history. The rabbis are saying to Queen Esther, we killed all the anti-Semites. Let's not raise a brand new crop by getting them jealous that we're celebrating over them. It sounds to me like originally Esther said, we should Kivun L'Doris. Let's make a holiday to commemorate this 13th of Adar, the day we won the victory and killed everybody. 13th of Adar. Because that's the day we cut these guys to pieces. Mamish. Esha Sherotsu Litlos Tolu. The rabbi said to Esther, if you mamish have a day in which you're going to celebrate the hanging, the drawing and quartering, the killing of the enemies, whose relatives are still around, kinat mares mein aluma. That's going to cause too much of a anti-Semitism, a reaction. It's going to raise a new crop of anti-Semites. You can't celebrate the day of the victory, the day of the fighting. It's too much painful, sticks in the throat of the goyim. And it's actually true, because I've told you many times, I know in the past, Martin Luther and many other Christian leaders don't want to include the Book of Esther in the Bible. They think it's too disgusting, because they don't like the fact that the Jews got back at the ones who were trying to kill them, you know? It's not supposed to be like that. The Jews are supposed to be the victims, not the perpetrators. Mamish, what's going on now in the war of Gaza? The world was, the Western world anyway, was more comfortable with the Jews being the victims of October 7th than the Jews now taking the comma in the war in Gaza. It's the nature of the beast. That's how it goes. And so originally, I think, Purim was like this. When Esther said, you know, Kfar Yiksub is saved for Divrei Yaman, it's already written in the history books. Being written in the history books is not the same thing as partying about it every day. I mean, there are things that America did, and they massacred the Indians here, so they did this thing bad to the blacks. I mean, you know, we have bad things that we did. And it's in the history books. But you don't commemorate it. You know what I'm saying? You don't make a party over it. That'd be too much. And so it got moved to the second day, the 14th. That's what I think. And indeed, you see Mordechai then writes a letter, but there has to be an Igeres Hashenis. And it's just interesting to me, according to the Seder Olam, according to our tradition, the king died like a year later. And think about that. In the original Purim, the king gave permission to do all this stuff. A lot of it he was prodded to, because Esther threw herself at his feet, and she cried, and this and that and the other. But we all know, Melech Hafafa Chayu, he could turn this way, he could turn that way. And so, it's hard to believe that while Ahasuerus was around, they would make a party, a celebration day, on the day that they killed all these Hamanites. I mean, the Jews are acting too uppity if they do that. That's what I think. And they were trying to be not uppity and get his permission to rebuild the base of Mikdash, which he never did give. But if a year later he was dead, then it's a new Metzias. If you go by the rabbinical tradition, his successor was a one-year-old baby that was born out from him and Esther, or some say a little older, whatever, very young. And she and Mordechai are going to be the powers behind the throne, and they're running the country. I've discussed this in the past. In that case, because of their new power, they're able to twist the arms of the rabbis and say, this is happening, baby. And the Chazal went along. They went along. Although, there are some who, as you know, say Esther is not Matamis Yadayim, Megillas Esther. They weren't crazy about it. And it seems to me, because, you know, you're rubbing in their face. It's like waving a red flag in front of a bull. You say, we're celebrating the day we killed you guys. That's hard to accept from the Goyim's point of view. So if you say, on the other hand, no, we're celebrating the day that we were saved from destruction. Notice, you're not emphasizing the fact we killed all the bad guys. You're emphasizing the Hatzolah aspect, which was a big deal. It's not so offensive. I'm celebrating the day I was saved from the people who was trying to kill me. How were you saved? That's a separate story. Were the bad people persuaded by reasonable arguments to forego their plan to kill you out? That's a separate question. You see? You don't have to go tell everybody we went and killed them all. You don't have to go in that. It's a day of Mishnah B'Simcha. But if it's a day of Mishnah B'Simcha, then you want to make it like the original Mishnah B'Simcha. And that means you have that feeling of Gelassenheit, in which now I feel comfortable, all the bad guys are gone, and they're not coming back. I think, certainly when Esther sends the second letter, in which she says, Batichtov Esther Bas Avachayel, she calls herself by her full name. I think if you do the numbers, the king was dead. You know what I'm saying? Because they say Ahasuerus died the next year. The king was dead. In that case, Esther is much more powerful. You get it? She was the king's wife, the first among many, many, many. The foremost of the queens. But she was just a queen. If the king is dead, and if it's true that her son became the next king, and if it's true her son was very young, she is a power broker, baby. And it says, Mamar Esther Kiyam is called Divrei Egeres Hazos. The word of Esther was Makayim this, meaning now she was a powerhouse. She's the queen mother. And as a matter of fact, if you know the history of Oriental monarchies, down to the Turkish Empire, the queen mother is a uniquely powerful figure. You understand? The kings have harems and this, that, and the other. One of them ends up being the next ruler. It's a blood sport because whoever doesn't end up being next ruler kills all the brothers. That's what they do. And probably the mothers too. But the one mother who's the lucky one, whose son becomes the next king, she's got a lot of power and influence. And here's Vatichtav Esther Bas Avichayel Mordechai Yehudi. The first time, I think, if I remember correctly, I think it's the first time Mordechai sent it out. Isn't that right? I think. It's all in Perek Tes, isn't it? Here it is. Vayichta of Mordechai is in Perek Tes Pasuk Chaf. Vayichta of Mordechai Yehudi is called Dvorim Ha'ilah Vayishlach Svorim Ha'kol Yehudim Ha'krom L'chom L'chaim El'ahim L'yosim Arba Sarkosh L'chod Ha'zdo Kamisar B'chol Shan V'shan. Mordechai sent out a letter. The second time it says Vayichta of Esther Bas Avichayel Mordechai Yehudi is called all this stuff. And there are differences. In other words, first had a Eser Malacha, the second didn't. Whatever the case, I mean, that's true. But you see, she's like the power person. She comes first. And it shouldn't be the other way around. If it's from, the man should go first. That wasn't a power situation. You see, she was not a powerful one as a result of her son being the king. And her son being young and then following her orders. And she's a very influential person in the palace. And so you see that we have an unusual holiday over here. Because now she moves it, you know, to the 14th and 15th. Mordechai also did. Obviously, to answer the problem of Chazal, which was kinat mores mina umas. If you would celebrate as normally is the case, the day of the actual killing, that would be too much. And ad hayom hazeh, in Persian, Iran, you look this up online. They make a big deal out of Purim as being a terrible day, and the Jews showed their evil ways, and they murdered a lot of innocent Persians and all this kind of stuff. Every once in a while, you hear some nut in the Iranian parliament saying, you know, he wants to get compensation for this, things of that nature. It bothers them when the Jews fight back. It doesn't bother them when the Jews are victims. Some of them cheered them along, and some of them offered sympathy, as long as the Jews are the victims. When the Jews are the players, and they actually punish the person that killed them, and they kill the person that killed them, and Kal Vachomer, if they torture the person who is planning to torture them, hear what I just said? If I chop in half the person who is about to chop in half me and my family, then you're going too far. Kinat Mores Beinu Umas. So Esther, if I'm right, Purim as a universally held holiday had a history. First they won the 13th, then they moved to the 14th. Then Mordechai tried to put it through. They still were reluctant. Esther, once she's power as queen mother, she's able to push it through. Mamar Esther Kim, it's called the Retorah. It's called the Megillah Azos or whatever it says. That's what I think. Anyway, it's an idea that came to me and I wanted to share with you. And again, I want to thank Gluck Plumbing for sponsoring. And it's not refried beans. And with that, I wish you all a good Shabbat.
For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidovidkatz.com.